Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us again here on Radio Tyneside via Hospedia, your bedside entertainment system. Let's open our programme today with a grand hymn from the Royal Albert Hall's Big Sing, featuring Alad Jones as the soloist. The hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. That first verse in that song about the seasons and the harvest reminds us that every part of God's creation functions and runs its course in such perfect order. And the hymn itself is about God's goodness in providing for his world. There's a harvest theme in our reading today, but all's not well with the crop. We'll be hearing how an enemy has sown weeds among the wheat while the owner was asleep, in a story known to us as The Wheat and the Tares. Let's listen to that reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. Here's that very parable set to music from my album Pearls of Great Price. It's the parable of the weeds.
Some seed was sown in the countryside, genetically modified. An enemy there at eventide, as specified in the parable, sowed weeds. The plants grew up and multiplied, bore grain and all were satisfied. But then the mood intensified, as someone spied among the plants those weeds. Suggestions came in nationwide, let's spray the plants with fungicide, or use a neat insecticide. Gather in the crops weeds cannot hide. No, wait, oh, let our timing coincide, when reapers who are qualified will burn the weeds in bundles tied, and set our grain aside at harvest tide.
Jesus took his stories from scenes and activities of everyday life, drawing from things that were familiar to his hearers, to teach them the deep truths about God. These stories, known as parables, have spoken powerfully to people down through the ages because of their wisdom and simplicity. They're so relevant for today's world too. In this parable, we see that sadly an enemy has sown rogue seeds in a field of wheat. Commentators suggest that this was probably the seed of the bearded darnel, a weed which looked so very like wheat in the early stages of its growth. Once the darnel was recognised, it was too late to separate it, as its roots had already become entangled with the roots of the wheat. Had the weed been uprooted, it would have destroyed the wheat too. It was only at the threshing stage that workers were able to remove the more obvious darnel seeds from the wheat seeds, as they were a different colour. And so, through this parable, Jesus explained later to his disciples that good and evil also must continue to live side by side until the final judgment at the end of the age. Here's a beautiful song about the need to pray for God's mercy and his protection from all evil. It says, Lord, have mercy on us. Kyrie eleison. Sung here by Nick and Anita Haig.
Empty, broken, here I stand. Kyrie eleison. Touch me with your healing. Wash me in your mercy's tide, Kyrie eleison.
Jesus explains to his disciples that, like the weeds, evil has invaded our world. So where is that evil? It's not a geographical evil, where one nation is good and another is bad, nor one faith is bad and another good. Scripture says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so not one of us should consider ourselves immune from the temptation to do evil. We're all capable of it. There's also what's known as the collective evil, such as racism, abuse, and prejudice. It has, as we all know, many other forms, and if we don't speak out against it, we align ourselves with it. Martin Niemöller, who lived from 1892 to 1984, was a prominent Protestant pastor who emerged as an outspoken public opponent of Adolf Hitler and spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. He's best remembered for this quotation. "First they came for the socialists and I did not speak out, because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists and I did not speak out, because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews and I did not speak out, because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me and there was no one left to speak for me." A change is needed. But that change must begin in each one of us. Only in this way can we become collectively good. Sam Cooke, who sings this next song, wrote it as a protest song to support the civil rights movement as black Americans fought for equality. It's called "A Change Is Gonna Come."
In a little tent, oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
What does this parable show us? It teaches us that it's okay to ask God our important questions, just as the slaves did in this parable of the master. One of our most frequently asked questions is, if there's a God of love, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? If we were to think about this carefully, we might actually come to realise that we as humans are the ones causing the pain most of the time. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that one day we will come to know the answers to all our questions, but for now we're confused as if we're looking into an unclean mirror. We also hear the slaves giving solutions, saying, "Master, do you want us to go and gather the weeds in?" Here we're taught the dangers of rushing to judgment, because we might do even more damage if we act hastily. If the slaves had had their way, they would not only have destroyed the wheat, but wasted also its potential and the possibility for future growth. Some people make big mistakes in life and later redeem themselves and come to do beautiful things for God. This next hymn is the testimony of one such man called John Newton, a slave trader who came good. he wrote this next song, which says, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." This version of Amazing Grace by Judy Collins is considered by some to be the best.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now
On the other hand, someone may live a truly good and honourable life and suddenly take a wrong turn. There was once a woman on her way to a shopping trip in the city by train, who upon waking up from a little snooze discovered that her 5 new banknotes were missing from her purse. Sitting opposite her on the train was another lady also having a snooze, and she very quickly jumped to the conclusion that she must have taken them. After all, there was no one else in the carriage. So, on nearing her destination, she quietly opened the woman's bag and purse, and she was not surprised to find her 5 new banknotes there. So quietly, without waking the lady or reporting her to the authorities, she just took them. She got off at her stop and enjoyed her day immensely in the city. Later, when she returned home and told her husband what a splendid time she'd had, he asked her how she had possibly managed that, since she had left all of her spending money on the kitchen table at home. Here was a woman who began her journey well that day, a good person, and she ended it riddled with guilt, weighed down by her actions. She had jumped to conclusions, and she had allowed her negative thoughts and suspicions to get the better of her. So she completely ruined someone else's day. Let's listen to Al Green singing a very familiar hymn, "Yield Not to Temptation."
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin.
courage to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passion subdue. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. Just ask the Savior to help you, to comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to save you, and he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, to comfort, evil companions, bad language, disdain, God's name hold in reverence, don't take it in vain, be thoughtful and honest, kind-hearted and true.
Finally, we learn in this parable that one day we will all be held to account for our actions, and God will one day be our judge, and according to Scripture, sin will be swept away, and the righteous will shine like the sun. So it's important to seek to transform the one person we can do something about, and that is ourselves. So why don't we begin to solve problems in the world by putting our own house in order first? I often have this sense of living in a far different world from that of my childhood. Not that all was perfect then, but life seemed so much more innocent then. We were more trusting and so full of hope. In today's world, there are those with such a thirst for revenge and bloodshed, and those who so much like to scorn others and criticise. And I think of a man on a cross who had every right to call down God's wrath on those who caused him such pain and humiliation, and who had such wounds inflicted upon him. But at that very moment on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." That is what I would call a kingdom moment, a unique and special moment. Couldn't we all learn from this display of unconditional love and forgiveness? Jesus was like the strong stalk of wheat in our parable, firmly rooted, untouched by the creeping tangle of evil weeds around him. So let us too be like that wheat, strong and steadily growing upwards towards the sun, free from all that would bind us or entangle us, so that in time we may too produce a good harvest. And so we pray, Lord, give us a vision of all that we could be. Release in us our true potential. Protect us from harm. Guide us and draw us ever closer to you. Amen. I'd like to end our programme today with Be Thou My Vision, sung here by local folk singers, friends of mine from the northeast of England, from the album Golden Days and Friendly Faces. Bye for now.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Be but not to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best thought in the day and the night, both waking and sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word, be thou ever with me, and I with thee, Lord. Be